Tomorrow, August 28th, is the 40th anniversary of the March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom. We'll celebrate that historic event with a full hour of memories from those who attended tomorrow in this hour. But now we finish our week-long look at the people and events that led up to the march with an earlier rendition of a very famous speech.
So I go back to the South not in despair. I go back to the South not with a feeling that we are caught in a dark dungeon that will never lead to a way out. I go back believing that the new day is coming. And so this afternoon I have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day, right down in Georgia and Mississippi and Alabama, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to live together as brothers. I have a dream this afternoon that one day, little white children and little Negro children will be able to join hands as brothers and sisters. I have a dream this afternoon.
The Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. speaking not to the assembled multitudes at the National Mall, but to a packed meeting center in Detroit, Michigan, 2 months earlier. King's speech at Cobo Hall was the keynote address at the Detroit Walk to Freedom on June 23, 1963. The event was a preview of the coming march in Washington. More than 100,000 people took to the streets with Dr. King and local civil rights and labor leaders. Arthur Johnson was the head of the local branch of the NAACP at that time, and he joins us now from his home in Detroit, Michigan. Good of you to be with us on Talk of the Nation.
I'm delighted.
I understand you were actually in Cobo Hall to hear Dr. King speak. What do you remember from that speech?
Well, this was one of Martin King's best speeches that you look back over his career. It was an event that I think brought the best of Martin King to the recognition of the nation as a whole, because in this march he became the indisputable leader of the civil rights movement, and Detroit was, I believe, a special place for this event, because King had good relations with Detroit, and he felt very much at home here. So this event brought us all closer together, I think, in a recognition of this truly great voice that we had in Martin Luther King.
Before the speech, I understand you were on the roof of that hall watching the marchers come in. Can you describe that moment for us?
Well, I had agreed to participate in kind of a joint program involving a reporter with the WWJ radio station.
Mm-hmm.
And we were on the roof of Cobo Hall, had gotten in a position where we could see the march as it turned off of Woodward Avenue going west on West Jefferson. I have to tell you that I had never seen a scene like it. Indeed, there had not been such a large demonstration for civil rights in the country before this event in Detroit. And in all respects, it was history in the making. And I believe that every person who marched had the feeling that this was a triumphant statement of hope and faith and the determination of African Americans to be free.
I had never heard this earlier version of the I Have a Dream speech until today, and I got goosebumps listening to it. What was it like to hear it in the hall? What was the mood like?
Well, I think up to that time, this was the most powerful statement made for civil rights in the country and in the world, for that matter. And I would say that the voice of this march was really heard around the world. And I, like everyone else involved, had an emotional reaction to it. It was in so many ways special in character. The timing was right, it seemed. King's voice was never better. He had worked out that climatic part of the speech, I Have a Dream.
And we would hear so much more of it just 2 months later. Arthur Johnson, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Arthur Johnson, Executive Secretary of the Detroit branch of the NAACP during the Walk to Freedom. And as we mentioned, much more on the March on Washington tomorrow on Talk of the Nation. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.